Word of God found in Deuteronomy chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you to possess, all the days that you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars and break their sacred pillows and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offering and your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, your vow offering, your freedom offering, your free will offering, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all which you have put your hands in, you and your household, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For as yet you have not come to rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. But when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies round about so that you dwell in safety, then there will be a place where the Lord your God chooses to make his abide. There you shall bring all that I have commanded you, your burnt offering, your sacrifice, your tithes, your heave offering of your hand, and all your choice offerings which you vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female servants, the Levite who is within the gates, since he has no portion nor inheritance with you. Take heed to yourselves that you do not offer your burnt offering in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes. There you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. Amen. Living in Canaan. That's what I want to talk about. Living in Canaan. The children of Israel had been slaves down in Egypt. They had prayed for 400 years for deliverance. Life had not been easy for them while they were slaves in Egypt. Finally, the Lord heard their prayer, sent Moses, you know the story, and took them out across the Red Sea, took them out into the wilderness, gave them food and manna from heaven as they journeyed. And on this 40-year journey now, after they are free from slavery in Egypt, they're on their way to the Promised Land. They cross the Red Sea. You know that story. Pharaoh's army is drowned in the Red Sea. They go out into the wilderness. They have yet another river to cross. They have to cross the Jordan River. The Lord has made a promise. How many of you know the Lord is faithful to his promises? The Lord made a promise to them that he would take them to the Promised Land, a land flowing with milk and honey. They had to cross the Jordan River. And now, finally, they're in the Promised Land. Before, the text doesn't always tell us this, but before you get to your Promised Land, you can rest assured you're going to have to go through something. Lord promises him that they're going to have to, you know, that he's going to take them to the promised land. But he doesn't fill in all the blanks. He doesn't tell them all about the Red Sea. He doesn't tell them all about the difficulty they're going to have in the wilderness. He doesn't tell them about, you know, eating the same thing for 40 years. He doesn't tell them about having nothing to drink and had to get water out of a rock. He doesn't tell them all of the details. He just tells them, I'll be with you. He just tells them, I got your back. He just tells them, if you hang with me, you will get to the promised land. And so here they are after all this journey, all these 40 years. They've come through all kinds of difficulties. They're now in the promised land. And when they get to the promised land, he tells them, when you get over there, I don't want you worshiping with those heathens over there. Don't worship like they worship. I want you to look for a house where the Lord's name abides. I want you to look for a place where that you can recognize the goodness of God and the God of your salvation. Look at somebody say, the God of your salvation. And so they get over to the promised land, and sure enough, there's Mount Olive over there. There's a house where God's name can be recognized. There's a house where you can begin to tell your story. How many of you know that we as a people have a story to tell? We as a people have a testimony. Not only do we as individuals have a testimony, but we as a people have a testimony. In fact, those of us who are Americans, we have several community testimonies. You know, we have the testimony of 9/11. It doesn't make any difference whether you're black or white. That's a part of our history. Amen. We have a testimony of the Depression, and many of you lived through the Depression. Doesn't make any difference whether you were black and white. You remember going through. You have the CC camps and all those other camps. We have the testimony. But then those of us who are African American, we also have a civil rights journey. We've come through slavery. Look at somebody and say, we got a story to tell. And our story is not necessarily any better than your story, but it is our story. And I have a right, or we have a right, to tell our story. Do I have a witness in the house? And we as Americans, we have a story of World War II and World War I. We have a story of the Vietnamese War. We, as Americans, doesn't make any difference whether you're black or white, we have a story to tell, but we also have an individual story. And so what God is saying to the children of Israel, when you cross over your Jordan River, don't forget your story. When you cross over that Jordan, don't forget how you got from Egypt to Canaan. Don't forget all that you had to go through to get here. And most of all, don't forget who brought you. Don't forget that you were just a ragtag group of Israelites who did not have an army, did not know how to fight, did not know your journey. Don't forget it's I that brought you across the wilderness. Don't forget it's I that fought your battles. Don't forget it's I that killed your enemies. And when you get across the river, find a place where my name may be glorified. Find a place that you can give thanks to me. Don't leave your mind on the other side of the river. Don't leave your memory back in Egypt's land. I want you to remember that it was I that kept you. You know, I love when people go worship with other congregations and, you know, mixed congregation. That's wonderful. That talks about our journey. That talks about how far we've come. But I don't want to worship nowhere where I can't tell my own story. I don't want to worship nowhere where I can't say what the Lord's done for me. I don't want to worship nowhere where I can't say what the Lord's done for my grandmother and my grandfather and how the Lord kept them and how the Lord made a way for them and how the Lord put chitlins on the table and how the Lord made quilts and how the Lord did all of these things just to help us to get through. I don't want to go anywhere where I can't talk about when we couldn't go to the doctor. They had onion tea and Vic salve and all other kind of things just to make a way so that we could be healthy and have. That's a part of our story. That's a part of our journey. You couldn't always go to the dentist when you had a toothache.
They had, I don't know what that stuff was. They used to put on cotton balls and put it on your mouth and almost kill you. That's a part of our story. I mean, that, the only time we went to the dentist when they pulled your teeth. They wasn't trying to fix your teeth. They were trying to give you some. Do I have a witness in the house? That's a part of our story. And so when you, God says, now when you get on the other side, remember that you have a communal story. You know, those of us who are black in America, don't forget your journey. Now, you can act crazy if you want to. But sooner or later, somebody will remind you. You can be in suburbia. You can have a nice car. You can have a nice house. Your kids can go to Harvard. You can, you know, you could be. Look at the president of the United States, for God's sake. He says, when you cross over the Jordan, find a place where my name abides. And when you find a place and you tell your story, don't just tell your own community story. How many of you know we also have an individual story? Some of us have had brain surgery. Some of us have had prostate cancer surgery. Some of us have had breast cancer surgery. Some of us have been unemployed. Some of us have been in the jails. Some of us have been arrested falsely. Some of us have gone through all kinds of situations. So when I find a place where God's name abides, I want to be able to tell my story. I want to be able to say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I never would have made it. I want to be able to say that he's a healer. I want to be able to say the Lord made a way somehow. When I get in to this place that honors his name, and I can tell my community collective story, and I can tell my personal story, then I have a testimony of thanksgiving. When you come to church, you ought not come empty-handed. When you know, some of us, we come to church, we just want to get our praise on, and we want to leave our mind at home. We don't want to remember how good God has been. We don't want to remember how the Lord has kept us. We don't want to remember how the Lord made a way. And if you remember the goodness of God, you wouldn't dare come into the house of God empty-handed. We're in this gimme, gimme, gimme generation. We go to church for what we can get. What about going to church for what we can give? And we leave churches because they're not giving out turkeys anymore. This ain't ShopRite. Thanksgiving, people get an attitude. They come in here like $25. That's it. You ought to be saying thank you. Take that $25, buy that little bird, and stretch some of that other stuff like your grandmother used to do. She didn't even have $25. She didn't even have a turkey. It was just a big old, what do they call them, capon. Might have been one of them Cornish hens. But when you sat down to eat on Thanksgiving, you gave thanks anyhow for the goodness of God and how the Lord kept you. And when you went to the church on Sunday morning, you might not have had any money, but you had a praise. If you don't have any money, for God's sake, bring a praise. You're going to come in here, but the God's been good. Come in here and God has forgiven your sins and washed your slate and given you a second chance. come in here and the Lord has healed your body. The Lord has given you a job. The Lord has opened a door for you. And you come in here making all kinds of money. And maybe you're not making all kinds of money. Maybe you're just making minimum wage, but it's more than you made. And you come in here and tell me, I ain't got enough to give. You can't afford not to give. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. Reason you ain't got nothing because you're stingy. You got to put something into God. You got to learn how to trust God. You got to learn that the Lord will supply your needs. You got to learn that this is my Father's world. You got to learn the Lord's got your back.
He says, once you cross over your heart attack, find the church. Once you cross over your divorce, find the church. Once you cross over your difficulty, whatever it may be, your unemployment, find the church. Find the place where God's name is glorified. And once you get in there, remember what you used to be. Remember, how many of you remember what it like to be living down in Egypt land? Your own wilderness experience. How many of you are glad to cross over into the Canaan land? And once you get into Canaan land, now you're over here, you know, cross the Hudson River and you left the Bronx or wherever you left, or you came up the other way from South Carolina and the Lord's been good to you. You come into church and won't open your mouth. Got a good voice out there, sound like an angel, and just sit on the premises rather than on the promise. And then he says, when you cross over into the promised land, when you cross over into Canaan, bring your offering. I mean, they had so many offerings, so y'all think it's bad. The burnt offering, your tithes, your heave offering. I looked up heave offering. That's the offering for the preacher. He said, bring your free will offering, your vowed offering, your firstborn offering. And today, we just say, put it all in one and bring your tithe. Bring your tithe and your offering. Let me tell you something. People, it's amazing to me how much people have mouth religion, but it never gets to their pocket. Just hooping and hollering and running and jumping and shouting and not giving a dime. Don't tell me how much you love God. And I'm not talking to those people who, you know, I'm not excusing people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not excusing people who make minimum wage. He doesn't do that. He says, give me a tithe. If you make a million, give me a tithe. If you make 725, give me a tithe. I'm not excusing young people. Well, I'm paying my college tuition. Your parents still paying them. I'm not excusing old people. I'm not excusing anyone. I'm not excusing preachers. I'm not excusing deacons. I'm not excusing anyone. The tithe is for everybody. Can you imagine what we could do if everybody tithe? We could build our own senior citizen home. Can you imagine what we could do if everybody tithe? I was talking to my godson yesterday. He was telling me about he got the Ron Brown scholarship, $10,000 a year for 4 years. We could have the James Coleman scholarship for $10,000 a year for 4 years if everybody tithe. We could have the Deacon Matthew Brown scholarship for anybody who wanted to go into Christian education. We could have the Catherine Penn scholarship. We could have the Elizabeth Grignon scholarship. But in the meantime, we're just running around being cheap on God. And here's another thing.
We got to stop this playing tithe. A tithe? You know, people get it all confused. They think, oh yeah, I gave my tithe. No, you gave $3. That ain't your tithe. A tithe is 10%. Look at somebody and say, don't get it twisted. Tithe. I don't preach on this often enough, but today I'm feeling you preaching, Jackson. Go on, boy. A tithe is 10%. And do not separate your tithe from worship. Some people think, we had worship today because the choir had a good day. Or maybe because I had a good day. Worship involves giving. And it's not a separate program. And worship is connected to your thanksgiving. You just don't give because you look in your pocket and say, let me see what I got today. Jackson was all right today. I'm going to give 10. Whoa, the choir, oh yeah. They sang my favorite song, add $2 more. It's not about if I'm off, if I have a lousy day preaching, if the choir is off, it doesn't change the goodness of God. God still woke you up this morning. God still forgave your sin. God still made a way. Do not cheapen God. He says, when you cross over the other side. Anybody ever crossed over? I'm not talking about into the Never Never Land. I'm talking about, have you ever been through something? Been through a hardship, been through a setback, and the Lord brought you over it. And you were able to find a house with his name in it. And you came in that day and you just praised yourself. Oh, I'm just so thankful. Hallelujah. I'm just so thankful. And then you didn't even think about giving. And if you gave, you gave a little tip. It's a terrible thing when you and I spend more money on our cigarettes than we give to God. It's a terrible thing when you go to the bar and you're going to set everybody up. I don't even know what. Don't tell me what a drink costs. I don't want you to tell. I don't know. It's a terrible thing. If you give more to your fraternity or your sorority than you give to the church of God, you and I ought to examine ourselves. And I'm not trying to put down sororities, and I'm not trying to put down fraternities, but I know one thing, ain't no sorority saved you. Ain't no fraternity healed you. God is to be preeminent. Number one, number uno. I wish I could say it in Nigerian. Number one. Anytime you and I downplay the goodness of God and we drag ourselves in. Let me say, it's another terrible thing. You spend more on your hair and your nails than you give to God. The hair gonna fall out one of these days anyhow. Well, how many of you know you can still be healthy and have no hair? You can be healthy and still not have them nails to gun done. Thanks be to God. I'm all for looking good. I appreciate it when you look good, but don't get it twisted. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. So when you get over in Canaan land, act like you're in Canaan. Act like the Lord brought you through something. Act like you're thankful. Ain't nothing worse than a sourpuss Christian walking around with a frown on your face all the time. Can't nobody, never smile. For God's sake, open up your mind and think about how good God has been. When you get on the other side, bring your tithe. I shouldn't have to get up here and say, bring your tithes. Because, and your offering should not be based upon how good the choir sing or how good the preacher preach. Shouldn't be based on whether the sign, several people tell me, you know, the sign is off. I know the sign's off. We're trying to get it back on. It shouldn't be based on, you know, whether or not your favorite choir sings or whatever. It should be based upon your relationship with God. And when I think about how good God's been, it makes me want to, how many of you know you can't pay him? But you can show forth your affection. You know, you're in a relationship with somebody and you say, you know, baby, you know, I really love you. Oh, God, I love you. And you go give him this crackerjack jewelry. That's just the way we treat God. We come in here with a lot of mouth and give him crackerjack jewelry. You're lucky that Deacon Robinson is not God. Because he'd probably throw it back at you. I thought I would use somebody else other than me. But when you think about the other thing, you know, once you get over into Canaan land. And it says that, you know, when you get to rest, you get to the place to rest, and you come in, you find a place where God's name is to be praised, and you bring your offering, you bring all your tithes into the storehouse, and then you can praise him right. You can really praise him when you think about how he's healed you. And it's really not about the amount that you give, because tithing, people make different amounts of money. So I could be given $10 and you could be given $100, but we're given the same amount. So we're not getting all hooked up, though, because don't brag because, you know, you're given $100. You've just been blessed. Enjoy it. But don't think that the demons of hell are going to let you rest forever just because you are now in Canaan. Just because now you finally crossed over. How many of you know it seems like there's always another river to cross? There's always some conservative down in Congress somewhere. There's always somebody trying to roll back the clock. Deacon prayed about voter rights and whatever other kind of rights they're trying to take them back. You got to stay prayed up. You got to keep looking for a house where his name shall be honored. You got to keep looking for a Mount Olive or whatever name of church. You've got to be somewhere among the faithful. It's a terrible thing. You know, we get people who tell me, I don't need to go to church. I can watch it on TV. I like Osteen. I like Jakes. I do too. But they don't know Greg Jackson. They don't know you. You call them and tell them that you need help with your light bill. I double dare you. You call them and tell them that, hey, Johnny has graduated from high school and I want to send him to Fairleigh Dickinson University. And I want to, could you help him out for $1,000 scholarship? They're going to say, you got to be kidding. Ask them to come by and see you in the hospital. Ask Osteen, will he do your funeral? Will he fly up here and do your funeral? Ask him if he'll come see you in the hospital. He gonna give you a 1-2 answer. I'll pray for you. And the other thing, and I'm bring your tithes to the church. Don't be telling me that I gave to Red Cross. That's nice, but I ain't your tithe.
Don't be telling me that you gave to some United Way. They take money. They do nice stuff. Don't misunderstand me. But it's not your tithe. Imagine if you gave all that money to Mount Olive and we were able to give to the Red Cross. Imagine if we were able to be a blessing to Gilders Club. Imagine if we were able to be a blessing to the NAACP. Not in your name, but in Jesus' name. Imagine if we were able to be a blessing to the Urban League in Jesus' name. Bring your tithe to the storehouse. And if I'm stepping on your toes, you want to see me dance? But those of you who've tried God, he says, try me and see. Try me. If I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings, you want to receive. Try God. Next week is tithe Sunday. Next week is tithe Sunday. I want everybody under the sound of my voice to try God. Bring your tithe. If you make $7.25 an hour, figure it out every how many hours. And listen, don't come in here cheaping. Don't come in here acting like you're tithing and you're not tithing. I mean, from today to next Sunday, every dime you make, I want you to bring it in here and I want you to give God a tithe. And not just next Sunday, do it every Sunday. Try God. I don't expect to get too many amens today. Amen. How many of you could use a raise? She got both hands up. Don't wait till you get your blessing to be obedient. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But don't give just thinking that, you know, oh, Rev said, and if I tithe, oh, I'm coming in next week, I'm going to get my tithe, and then I'm going right out of here and I'm going to get the lotto. And, you know, I just feel it. I just feel it. I just feel it. Then the next Sunday you come in here all mad. Because, no. He may not bless you that way. Several of us are standing outside the church this morning, and I was telling them that I got up the other day and my back was hurting. And then they outdid me. My back was hurting too. Then they went on to tell me about this hurting and that hurting. You don't know what's gonna happen during the day. The Lord can bless you in more ways than money. I'm so glad that my back ain't hurting like it was hurting, and I could have had $1 million, but, you know, I'm a big crybaby. I am a crybaby. If I hurt, I hurt. I'm not one to go around talking about, I don't need no pills. Give me a pill, shots, and whatever else. Ease the pain. I mean, I think that's a woman thing. I think y'all think you get stars for suffering in silence without medication. I don't need no aspirins. Give me Tylenol, aspirins, and whatever else I will not remember. When you cross over, bring your tithes and give him praise. Thank him for your collective witness as well as your personal witness. Amen.